you and UFOs. My God, the mind reels.
Yes, it does. I am sure he did an excellent job. He always does.
I heard he sneered a lot.
Well, I don't know. Not on the show. He's sneering in, you know. I mean, John is, you know, John's out for the money.
Does he sneer a lot?
Yeah, he doesn't. He's a delightful human being.
Well, I didn't say he wasn't delightful. I just asked if he sneered.
No, he doesn't. He's a delightful man. And he was a delight to work with.
Well, now that you got your bread buttered on both sides, let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Glenn calling in from Dimension Cable in Vista, California. Good evening, Glenn. Hello, Glenn.
Hello, Don. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. What's on your mind tonight?
I just wanted to know if you got a chance to see Hard Copy last night, where they showed the three different moving pictures of the object that was just basically stable, and all of a sudden it shot out of the screen like it was a bullet.
Yes, I did. My wife twisted my arm, made me watch that horrible program, and in fact, I did see that. I got to tell you, I don't know. I haven't studied those videotapes, but if in fact they are genuine, they were quite quite startling. Did you see those?
I didn't
by
see
any
that.
Chance?
It was a
Dwight.
Really...
Did you?
No, I didn't see it either.
It was incredible because they showed three different angles.
Yes,
three
they did.
Different people at three different times, and this is all in Gulf Breeze, I guess.
Yeah, Gulf Breeze,
a hotspot.
UFO, USA.
These things that we're just seeing, and you could see they were spherical, and they were metallic color silver, and they were just sitting there, and all of a sudden this thing just shot to the right, like, and they even showed it in slow motion, and you could just barely keep up with it.
I'll tell you, today, you know, 25 years ago I wouldn't feel this way, but today. I can't trust anything that I see because the computer has changed it all. It's almost impossible. I saw those videos from Mexico, for instance, and they all looked quite wonderful until this horde of helicopters was coming around and this one small object went in between them.
Yeah.
And none of them moved out of the way. They just kept, you know, I mean, it didn't look real. It looked to me like it had been superimposed on the screen. And I think we're at a period in history where photographs and video are no longer going to mean anything. You're not
going
to
scan them into your computer,
yes.
Put the object you want inside of it, and you got it.
That's right. That's why I still contend that if there is an answer to this question, it's 1947 to 1953.
Yes, I agree with that absolutely. And those are going to be very important dates, I think, in the UFO research.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Glenn, there's no doubt.
Well,
I just wanted to say I love your guys' show, and I subscribe to your magazine, and keep looking up, like you say.
Well, by golly, we appreciate it.
And if I don't talk to you, have a real good Christmas and New Year's.
Same to you, Glenn.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's see. We have Kevin calling in from Glendale, and let me see if I can push the right button here. Remember when Zachariah Sitchin told me to keep my fingers off
those
buttons? I still haven't learned. Kevin.
Hello.
Well, good evening. What's on your mind?
I was looking around on the internet, and I found some number that called me to Washington, and then I got this stuff about the Roswell incident.
What's your question?
I was just wondering if you knew any more numbers.
Oh, the kids are out tonight. Speaking of Roswell, Michael, let me ask you a question, because, you know, Roswell itself is probably, if there is a case that could be construed as one of the cases of the century as far as the subject is concerned, Roswell, we presently have testimony from over 300 people. Many of them originally were firsthand witnesses allegedly involved with the retrieval and removal of this debris. We have one of the first people on the scene, the intelligence officer of the world's only atomic bomber wing then in existence. Just by that definition, Roswell, the 509th, had the cream of the crop. And the guy that would have been running the intelligence operations would have had to have been cream of the crop. We have testimony from this man stating that the material he handled was unlike anything ever before seen by him. It was, to use his words, something not from this earth. We have testimony from allegedly witnesses to bodies recovered from there. We have the Air Force admitting just a few months ago that they originally lied about this situation. They lied that it was not a weather balloon. It was a secret balloon. I mean, when you look at all the chronology of this case, aren't there questions raised in your mind about what actually happened there and why has the government treated it in the fashion that it has over almost a half century now?
Well, I was satisfied with the latest report of it being a military balloon.
Why?
Because those who know more about it than I do were satisfied with it.
And
here's
who,
the problem.
Who were they? Who were
here's
they?
The problem. Let me tell you what I think the problem is here. This is much like the Roswell incident. Reminds me very much of the JFK conspiracy theories.
No, I can't accept that.
It's so entwined with so many.
We got apples and oranges.
No, I don't think so, because you're still talking about cover-up of some kind. And having so many people involved that would have to be in on it to be consistent about it. And to imply, you keep using this word,
no, the
lie.
No, the trick is that you keep so few people in the actual know. You keep so few people that actually have the real material. You know, a secret can only be successfully kept by two people if one of them is dead, is the old
right.
saying. So in a case like this, initially there would have been a lot of people, but time is on the side of the secrecy. Many of these people are either dead or now they're ready to die. We're talking about something that happened a half century ago. We do have testimony that from hundreds of people that say that something extraordinary happened there and that the government moved in because of national security and covered it up. Why do you find that so hard to believe all these people? If these 300 or 400 people testified that they saw a car wreck, would you accept their testimony?
Well, to accept their testimony as what? Sure,
as legitimate,
people.
Honest. What the facts that they observed?
That they saw something? Yeah, sure. And that these observers saw something occur. Where the story begins to shift for me is when you start talking about alien bodies that are then taken somewhere and stored or dissected or whatever. And you know, so the first part of the story, was there a crash? Did people observe a crash? Was there some kind of material retrieved from the crash? Sure, all of that makes sense. If it's a secret military balloon, was there a part of a cover-up? Sure, of course, because the military always has.
So we have hundreds of people that suggest it was not a balloon. Marcel, one of the first people, well, let me just say this, stated that the debris field covered 3/4 of a mile. This is his testimony, 3/4 of a mile, hundreds of yards wide. What balloon could have made a debris field like that? Brazel.
Why do you trust that testimony is accurate?
Why would he lie? The man, why would he lie?
See, you like this word lie. How about got it wrong, made a mistake?
Well, there was another. There was someone else. There was someone else who also said it was 3/4 of a mile long originally.
Mm-hmm.
That was Brazel. He said it originally,
right.
and there is firsthand testimony that he changed his story after he was interrogated by the military police. Now,
and held incommunicado for a week.
That's true.
Okay, look, I mean, this could go on.
Yes,
forever.
It could.
If everything you say is true about Roswell, what does that lead you to conclude? What does that give you for your?
What
is your theory, and what does that prove for it?
What I'm saying is, when you have testimony from this many people, okay, and you have a government that's saying something diametrically opposite, and we've already caught these.
No,
wait a minute.
Testimony by itself is not good. Look, you know the pecking order in the legal system that physical evidence is number one.
Testimony
the bottom
is
of the line,
good.
Eyewitness,
testimony is good.
Eyewitness testimony is always the last thing lawyers depend on, right?
But the bottom line is the physical evidence
yeah, where is it?
Has been removed. The physical
right.
No, wait a minute. If in fact UFOs represent some type of threat to national security, it's within the government's own interest to get it out of there to stop the questioning before it starts. Now, we're talking about 1947, just finished a horrifically expensive war in terms of money and life, the United States was at the top of the heap. According to the testimony of the people that were there, they suddenly were confronted with something they didn't understand. It scared them.
Well, Sputnik did the same thing, so what?
Well, yeah, I mean, but Sputnik, we knew Sputnik was from a terrestrial source. In 1947, the United States military, according to the Air Material Command secret study that was conducted through 1948, stated that not only were UFOs real and not illusionary, they literally for a while had a fear that we might be on the verge of an invasion. Not my words, theirs.
Right.
How do you, I mean, you know, this has got to suggest that there's something worth investigating here. And it's not something as simple as a weather balloon or a secret balloon. Michael, in 1947, the Project Mogul, what the Air Force claimed Mogul was doing, was looking for Soviet nuclear tests. The Russians didn't have an A-bomb for two more years. And we knew in 47 that they weren't going to have an A-bomb anytime soon. We knew that. So what would they be covering?
Okay, well, that's a good point. That's a good point. But let me ask you this. What would satisfy you for the government to make a statement on this particular incident? What would be your dream statement? What would it say?
I don't know what my dream statement would be, but what I would be satisfied with would be for them to open up that secrecy drawer, drag out the documents about what actually went down there, and then lay the information out for the public, regardless of whether it was good, bad, or indifferent. If it was truly prosaic, I would accept that. If they could explain why they hid it for almost 50 years, and why they lied about it all that time.
See, I'm not so sure you would.
Why? Why? What makes you say that?
Because I think you have a very strong belief system that these things are real, whatever you mean by that, that they are either alien craft or
terrestrial. And yours is just as strong the other way.
Yes, I would agree.
When the first, and this is where, from my standpoint, the thing which is bothersome, when the first press report was released by the intelligence officers there, Roswell Army Air Force recovers flying disc, right? Quite an extraordinary release from a very sophisticated group. This is the most elite intelligence corps in the country, in the world. They had in their hands the only atomic bombs known. It was an astounding headline. That intelligence officer, who then later said it was a weather balloon.
And by the way, certainly not the first time a newspaper would run an astounding headline.
No, that was their word. That was the RAAF release.
I understand.
Think about that. How do you say that and get it wrong? In other words, how do you in the Army say weather balloon looks like a disc, a material? I mean, it's a flying disc is the words that are used. And that's a very specific thing at that time.
I hate to overuse that saying, extraordinary claims, et cetera. But in science, if you want your theory to be accepted and it's not in the mainstream, it's up to you to provide the corroborative evidence. And when I talk about corroborative, I mean sort of a consilience or a convergence of different kinds of evidence. Eyewitness testimony is only one thing. You also do need physical evidence, documentary evidence, and so on. And you guys
you're
are working
missing something
on those
here. You're leaving something out of this, though. You're talking about your world in which there are no opponents. In this world, now you tell me,
you mean in the world of science?
In the Roswell incident, the U.S. Army Air Force covered up what crashed there. I don't think you're going to deny that because they've admitted they've covered it up. They admitted that they did it. Now, you say you need to show some physical evidence. How can I show you physical evidence when there is an enormous body, political and military body, that can be utilized to cover it up?
Here's the trap we get into is that if I ask for physical evidence and you have it, obviously you're happy to provide it, but you don't. So you have an answer for that, and that is somebody has it and is covering it up.
Well, deny that they did?
Did the Air Force? The Air Force has obviously changed their story.
So what did they do?
I don't know. I would not use the word lie, cover up, things like that. Bureaucratic agencies screw things up all the time.
So when the
intelligence
officer said it was a cover up and a lie, when General DeBose said it was a cover up and that it was of the highest priority, top secret, when General Exxon said it was a lie and a cover up, those three. Now this is not just this is not these are 2 4-star generals. And the intelligence officer who was later promoted, who reported to Harry Truman that the Soviets have detonated a bomb. These are not bimbos. These are not bumpkins. These are not half-drunk policemen on the banks of the Mississippi. These are very sophisticated people. There has to be, at some point, where you have to say they're lying. These three men are lying. They say it was covered up. So that's my point to you. They said it was covered up. I'm not pulling that out of the air. I'm not saying they're covering it up. They said it was covered up.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not coming out of my head. Just as when that headline appears in that newspaper, I didn't make that up. I didn't say they recovered a flying disc. They made a huge mistake, and they were asses, and there was this headline. But then there was this huge cover-up, and now we have these people saying, yes, it was a cover-up. Not researchers, but people in the military of very high rank. So my question is, how do you dismiss that?
The testimony by itself, I have not looked at personally.
Please accept that I'm telling you. These people are on the record.
That's fine.
These are all on the record.
But where are these bodies?
How many
people have to know about it?
Answer my question. These are military people involved in intelligence, and they're saying, we covered it up. And you have three separate, these are just three of the highest ranking. How do you dismiss that? You wouldn't dismiss it today.
Why would I have to dismiss it or
you are dismissing
it as
what? You're dismissing it out of hand. In other words.
I'm not. I'm just saying, if they're saying it was a cover up of what? And what does that mean if it is a cover up? Does that that's only negative evidence. It just means it wasn't what they originally said it was.
One of them said it was off of this earth, was not of this world.
Let me make a point here, Dwight. Let me make a point here. When you say extraordinary claims demand extraordinary proof, as a civilian researcher, you're absolutely correct. I would love to be able to drag it out and show you. But here's my problem. As Dwight so very adroitly pointed out, the military, in fact, did cover up this situation, this incident. They hauled away whatever it was that came down, and then they lied about it. You can't call it anything else. It was lied about. They admitted lying about it. In that paper I gave you right there, they admitted they lied. Now, if I had an Air Force, or if I had multi-billions of dollars to spend on an intelligence agency, if I had access to satellite technology, if I had ships that could span the globe, if I had millions of people that could span out and cover these situations when they happen, very likely I could give you that proof. The problem is the United States government has all those pluses, and whatever it is about this situation, they have covered it up and lied about it. So how can we give you what we don't have? But what they, in fact, do have and deny they have.
How do you know they have it?
How do I know they have it? Because we have, once again, going back to this particular case, we have people, hundreds of people, that were there when this situation happened and stated that the military, the regular Army Air Force, came in and took it away. I personally spoke to the wife of one of the pilots that flew the debris to Wright-Patterson. Her name is Sappho Henderson. Spent a very lovely afternoon with her. And her husband now is dead. But he was a pilot there. He flew a B-29 from Roswell to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And she said that it was not until 1980 or 81, she didn't remember, when the first book written by Bill Moore was published. And one of the tabloid newspapers, it might have been the Enquirer, had a story about alien flying saucer crashes at Roswell. They were walking through the checkout line. Mrs. Henderson said, my husband, they called him Pappy, looked, saw that, picked it up, bought it, and said, now I can tell you about what happened to me in 1947. She said his whole life was the Army Air Force. He loved it. He'd still be flying if he were alive. And for all those years, he hid this from me because he was told he couldn't talk about it. Now it's in the paper. He figured he could talk about it. Now, how do you dismiss that? What would this woman have to gain?
I don't know what she'd have to gain, but I'm not sure what it tells us.
It tells us that something extraordinary happened, and according to what she told me, her husband told her that they picked up a spacecraft.
How would he know what a spacecraft looks like? I mean, what is a spacecraft in 1947?
It was obviously...
Of course, there are descriptions of that. We can go into that, but I don't want to right now. But the problem is, and this is my... When Jesse Marcel, who knew he was going to die in 1978, and came out and told this story, he was a kook, a fool, a jerk. Nobody cared. Nobody in any... In other words, nobody believed this because, of course, there's... This is... You got to, there's a point at which you say, he's delusionary, but maybe he's not. Maybe he is telling the truth, and then you try to check it out, but nobody took him seriously. A bunch of UFO investigators took him seriously because they want to believe something. But the real problem here is that there is I'm not going to say evidence, but there is a logical evolution of there was an incident that was described fantastical. There was a cover-up. There were very, very, very reputable military figures who have come forth to say it did happen that way, and nobody checks it out. And so 50 years later, you can sit around and say, how do you know? But nobody bothers to check it out. All you get is it couldn't possibly be. And I'm just saying that if you get two, three, four star generals to come out and say it was a cover up, and you get an intelligence officer to say it was off of this planet, then somebody's got to, as we now have a congressman looking into it, somebody's got to take it seriously. But I don't think anybody has taken it seriously, except a bunch of people who don't have any money.
Let me ask you something. Do you ever think about this? You talked about the sociology of science and how that works. Could there be? I mean, do you ever think about this? That these UFO sightings and this whole movement begins just as the Cold War is beginning. Science fiction literature and television and movies and all that starts to take off.
But
that there is a social context in which this movement is growing.
But it's been going on for thousands of years. I mean, see, that I don't buy that, because this has been going on for thousands of years. And you get you know, the photographs, the sightings.
Are you going back to like ancient astronauts? Yeah,
I mean, all throughout the 1800s, throughout the 1700s, throughout the 1600s, there have been reported sightings. But that's, see, I don't believe that most of them are. I don't believe that most of them can be explained. I think most of this, I think Roswell can probably be explained, but I don't think anybody's explaining it, which tells me that something, you see, it's the question of lying. And it was like a Mogul balloon, 50 years. We knew what that was in 1951. The information on this has been requested for 40 years. And they have said there's nothing there. Oh, it wasn't a balloon, it was a balloon. That doesn't make sense to me. Why keep that a secret for 50 years when we knew what a Mogul was in 51? Why? I mean, that beggar, and the report, if you read it, was not a real Air Force report. It was a PR release, and it was stupid the way it was written. The William Broad article on the Mogul balloon was intelligently written on the Mogul balloon. But the report itself was a slap in the face. This is a joke. There are no bodies because there's no bodies. There's this, and they got it wrong. They got some of the facts wrong. So you can't. It just doesn't gel. That's the problem. It's inadequacy. I mean, it seems to me it'd be very easy to dismiss this completely. I mean, you could wipe everybody off.
It doesn't sound like it is. It sounds like your entire argument hinges on this one incident.
No, I'm just saying this is just an example of where the government prevaricates. It doesn't come clean. It's like anybody personally who lies to you about something. There's a point at which you then begin to, and you rightfully should, mistrust at a certain point.
I agree.
And when you have fine military, there is not in any other legal situation, if these military men were to say this occurred, you would find activity in the direction of what they said.
Are you saying that there's nothing about this case that sufficiently intrigues you that something strange may have happened here?
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm curious that so much of what you're doing seems to depend on this one particular case. And so your answer is, well, it doesn't. It goes back thousands of years. Okay, well, show me some of that for the last – what's your evidence for the last couple thousand years? Okay, let me just kind of reflect on this whole thing for a minute.
I'll tell you what, I hate to do this.
Okay, we'll come back and reflect.
We're right at the bottom of the hour. We're going to have to stop. We're going to have to take a break. My name is Don Ecker. Co-hosting tonight is Mr. Dwight Schultz, our guest, Dr. Michael Shermer of the International Skeptics Society. Okay, Michael, I had to interrupt you before we went on break, but before you start trying to give us this information, I wanted to let people know, too, about how to get your magazine, Skeptic, and how to find out more information about your organization. You have an office in Altadena, California, and this. Did you want to give this telephone number? I can
sure.
give it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. You can find out more about the Skeptic Society and Skeptic Magazine by calling Dr. Shermer at area code 8. Very good. And the cost for a year subscription to the magazine is $35.
That's
is that
right.
correct? Okay, so that's area code 818. Let me see. Oh, thank you. Okay, you were starting to give us a thought here before.
Well, at Skeptic Magazine, we look at lots of different groups, lots of different claims, belief systems, and so on. And I will be the first to recognize that skepticism is itself a type of a belief system. Okay. However, you begin to see trends in a lot of these groups and a lot of these claims. One of the trends is there's always often the government's involved. There's cover up. There's conspiracy. There's bits and pieces of data here and there that for the non-believer are just anomalous noise. They're mm-hmm. just there. You know, at worst it's junk, at best it's I don't know what it is, and I'm going on to do what I usually do. For usually a small group of people, that they hang on that. It's like, wow, now how do you explain that? And they hone on it, and they keep mm-hmm. hammering away on it, like you've been hammering me here on Roswell. You guys know a lot more about Roswell than I do. I mean, lots of people do. That's not my expertise, but looking at belief systems and how people evaluate things that they hear and read and so on, that is something I study a lot. And so everything that's been happening here and that I see in this movement, it is so much like all these other groups we study. It's amazing. It doesn't, that by itself doesn't make you right or wrong.
When you say movement, how
I think,
do you mean?
Well, I mean a social group. There's a group of you, a collective of people. You know each other, you talk to each other, you read the same magazines, you have magazines. I mean, that's part of the social movement. I mean, science, physicists are a social group, a movement, whatever. So, like the Roswell incident, or, you know, this peculiar drawing or painting here from 1,000 years ago, or this shades on Mars, all of these add up to one large picture for you because you already have the belief system that these things are real, and you're looking for the evidence to find it, and you find it. Now, of course, scientists have theories and they find evidence to support it too, but we have that self-correcting thing that I started off with tonight, that it's going to be somebody's job to debunk that guy. Some graduate student is getting his PhD to show that guy was wrong. So there is a filtering system there. And most social groups like the UFO believers, they don't have that in there. You all believe, and so you have that sort of reinforcement. You reinforce
each
other.
You see, now this is where you have, unfortunately, you've mistaken us for what you may have seen in many other people within the quote-unquote UFO movement, which hopefully is different from a bowel movement, okay? Although there are elements in the UFO movement.
But you do
movement
have a good sense of humor. Yes. I like that.
There are elements in the UFO movement sometimes that can be misinterpreted. But be that as it may.
Shoveling along.
We are very skeptical about this information. You know, there have been many people within the UFO field that have attacked us because of our very cautious approach. Now, when I say what we're trying to do, we're trying to show as many people as is possible within the public at large that there is something here to be investigated. We have not come to any clear-cut conclusions that UFOs equate, and we said this at the beginning of the show, to alien spacecraft. But correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah,
I thought science... the question is, are some possibly alien? Are some?
Okay.
Not all.
Okay, all right.
Science is supposed to investigate the unexplained. But when it comes to UFOs, Michael, they have explained the uninvestigated. In the last 20 years, there have been no professional, not one professional paper published on the UFO question.
Well, what about Hynek's stuff? He's a professional astronomer.
He was a professional astronomer.
He's a cultist.
But exactly. Many people threw him in the cultist camp. How many people in the quote-unquote straight scientific community would be willing to take a look at this in an objective manner?
Probably
be honest.
Probably not many.
Why?
Well, first of all, there's probably not much funding for it. Second of all, it depends on how you're investigating it. I mean, you could do it through a group like the Skeptics, because that's what we do. We make investigations like this. But if you did it through like a physics department or something, they would ask whoever's doing the funding for it, or your department chair would ask, well, what has this got to do with your physics?
It's not science.
It's really your job. I mean, it's fallen to you to promote this system, and that's what you're doing. But that's the way the system works. It's the burden of proof is on you. That's the way it is.
I agree with your estimation, but this goes back to what I was saying to you earlier, that if I am told to here's a letter, introduce yourself to the Pentagon, and retrieve this document for me. You realize that I couldn't go to the Pentagon and retrieve the document that they asked me to retrieve. It would just not be possible. So if by definition we are inquiring, we are asking the military, or we are asking the government for information, and they choose not to give it to us, we are really you say, well, come up with the evidence. Well, we can't. I mean, because you've got it. And as I said you off, they have stated
if these whatever is coming here, and there's craft all over the place, you've got this one crash. Where else?
There are many other cases. But Roswell happens to be one of the most thoroughly investigated. There was a case that happened in December of 1965 in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania, which was literally only about 70 miles from my original home.
Which could very well have been a Soviet...
There was a case that happened just a few years ago in the Sudan, which the Department of Defense has thoroughly covered up. There were other cases that happened in Africa. But, you know, looking here, we've got a lot of phone calls, and we better take some because we're getting low on time. We're going to go to, is this Epi?
Yeah, this is Epi.
Epi, good evening. Joining us from San Diego on satellite. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you if any of your listeners had seen an object falling out of the sky yesterday evening about 8 p.m., 8:10, something like that.
It was a meteor.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because it was really lit up the sky down here.
Yeah, it was green and red. It was a meteor. It was quite beautiful.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, what is the meteor storm that we're about ready to go through?
I remember.
Perseids?
Yeah, I believe so. Okay, thank you for your call, Epi. We're going to move along. We're going to go to Tony in Whittier, who's joining us on Salmons. Good evening, Tony.
How you doing, guys?
Just fine. What's on your mind?
Well, since we had Dr. Shermer in there, I just wanted to ask him a few questions. He seems to be pretty much based in science. Is that right?
That's correct.
That's me, Mr. Science.
Mr. Science, okay.
As opposed to being Mr. Wizard, right?
The burden of proof. Yeah. I'm sitting here looking at the timetable of science and innovation, CD-ROM.
Yep.
And it shows all of the premier breakthroughs
for
hundreds of years, okay?
Lots of.
And it's very curious that in 1946, somebody thought about making a computer towards the end of 1946, and in 47, just everything broke loose. I mean, atomic, nuclear, computers, the transistor. You know, in 47, IBM turned down the idea of making a computer.
It was the aliens that brought all this to us, Tony.
Yeah. Well, here's some proof. So anyway, we're just...
No, you know why? Because all those scientists that were working on the bomb were now free to go work in industry and teach science at the university.
Actually, was there not a mechanical computer that if the money would have been the Babbage machine?
There were, Babbage back in the 19th century, but there were computers, ENIAC, and that were code-breaking computers during the war.
The British.
Throughout
the 1940s, in the late 1930s, they were building computers.
Yeah, but wait a minute. You talk code-breaking, that signals...
The ENIAC computer,
which I'm sitting here looking at right now, is not a code-breaking computer. It didn't have the ability to store a software program with its data.
No, they used it to compute artillery.
Yeah, that's all it was used
artillery
for, firing ballistic and tables and taking into account what Dwight's old saying is it's only ones and zeros. Well, it's not. You know, there's a lot of analog quantitative
analysis. Do you realize you're talking to Lieutenant Broccoli here? Star Trek's only computer
nerd. Look, I'm going to tell you right now, computers are ones and zeros. That's it.
No. There's not. There's a lot more to it. There's
no, it's not. Everything is represented as ones and zeros. Everything.
There's a lot of...
It's all zero, one. That's how it can be so fast.
No. There's a lot of analog.
You mean it's one zero two?
Listen, hold on. You can't get a temperature out of ones and zeros. You have to have an analog quantitative quantity to start with to get your... But anyway, what I was getting at was his suggestion that they were code breaking prior to this is contrary to the timetable of science. They didn't have a computer that had the ability to store a software program in with its data.
Okay, Tony, you've got to give us enough time so we can shoot Dr. Shermer before he leaves here. So we're gonna have to move along. I've got other phone calls.
Okay, I've always wanted a skeptic.
Everything else hit in 1947. Why not a flying saucer?
There you go.
I was born in 47.
Oh, and that meteor shower, yeah.
Thanks, Tony.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Okay, are you telling me, Renee, we've got to take another quick break?
Absolutely. Sorry about that.
Make it real quick.
I know you got a hot one going, but if you're in the 818-21...
And we're back, and through the miracle of modern communications, right
digital technology,
which all began in 1947.
That's right.
Because the aliens brought it to
That's
us.
Right.
We are going to shoot immediately down to Sorrento, Florida, and Carl, who's joining us on satellite. Carl, good evening.
Did I make it this time?
You made it.
The last two times I called, we had a good connection until you picked up the phone.
Well, Zachariah Sitchin tells me to keep my fingers off the button, so...
Okay, Dr. Shermer, I'm not familiar with his publication, but does he cover other things besides UFOs?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we do false memory syndrome. We did the Holocaust deniers. Our latest issue just came out on alternative health care and alternative medicine. We've done issues on genius. We've got one coming up on race and IQ.
Santa Claus.
We do Santa.
I've got a good one for you.
What?
I want to know, are there or not black unmarked helicopters? You carry on, Don. Please see what he's got to say about that.
Okay, Carl.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Say yes.
Yes.
Okay, there we go. We're going to go to Alan in Rancho Santa Margarita.
How you doing? It's me again.
Alan, yeah.
I have a question for your panel.
Okay.
I was watching the program, and they had shown a clip of a plane.
Hey, you're lucky, because usually we don't leave somebody call in twice in the same show.
Oh, well.
You must be special.
I'm the special one.
Did you promise to pay my producer money?
Oh, yeah, a couple thou.
Okay.
On the program, they showed a flat plane, it looked like, and this was done, I guess, maybe about 1,000 years ago, 500 years ago, and it was etchings into the ground of what looked like sort of animals.
Are you talking about the Nazca drawings?
I'm not sure what the correct name is, but it's only visible from the air, and at that time, I guess, you know, the most rudimentary type of flight was possible. So what would have been their motives for doing such a thing?
If you're talking about the Nazca lines, they actually are visible from the local mountains.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Well, that debunks that. too bad. All right, thanks very much.
Well, not only that, he debunked NASCA tonight, but he destroyed Santa Claus.
Oh.
I don't know why we ask him in here.
Yeah, okay, thanks very much.
Okay,
guys.
Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to go to Brent in Tucson, joining us on satellite. Good evening, Brent.
Good evening, Don and Dwight.
Good evening.
How are you doing tonight?
Just fine.
And Dr. Shermer.
Thank you. I thought you forgot about me.
I'm interested in the concept of extraordinary claims, extraordinary proof, and I'd like to make an extraordinary claim about UFOs. If hypothetically, the claim would be that it's beyond scientific equipment as we have it today to reproduce or verify that UFOs exist. As I understand it, science doesn't accept something unless it can be verified or reproduced. Yet, what if human beings from different walks of life and different levels of background and educational background have a common experience with UFO phenomenon? Thousands of human beings. That's extraordinary.
Are you referring to the abduction phenomenon?
Well, you could go into that or the sightings. Maybe dozens or hundreds at a time will verify that they see something, and either there is affirmation from radar, you know, elsewhere, or they'll deny that, you know, that it was picked up on radar, yet human beings have seen these things. So they're unexplained. They did make an impact on human consciousness. And so what I'm saying, what's extraordinary, the extraordinary proof is that it happens all over the world to many different people of different backgrounds.
But
the question is, what is happening to all these different people from different backgrounds?
Well, a phenomenon that at the moment cannot be reproduced by current scientific equipment or in our laboratories.
No, but it can be actually. I mean, if you want to be absolutely literal, it can be on a computer.
Yeah.
Okay. The effect of it. You're talking about the
graphics programs and what have you can do some pretty amazing things. As a matter of fact, Dwight and I were down in Roswell, New Mexico, back in April, and we were down there taking a look at some fantastic video that had been shot by somebody. And this individual was a videographer, and you know he wanted to show us that what he had, this videotape, was real. And to differentiate, he had done something on his computer with the UFO that looked, you know, it was breathtaking, but it was obviously graphic.
Yes, that could be done actually frame by frame now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, I don't think I'm making my point. You don't have time right now to do it. But I just think that when you have so many people that are eyewitnesses to something, and simply because they don't have the scientific means to reproduce it, it's extraordinary. If only one or two people in the world had similar experiences, and that in itself would not be extraordinary.
Okay. Brent, I want to thank you for your very interesting call. We are going to go to Beth in Simi Valley, who's joining us on Comcast. Good evening, Beth.
Hi. I was wondering if anyone has called about a really unusual light beam, which was over Simi Valley in the East End last night.
Yes, it was a meteor.
No. This was separate from the meteor. This was hours later. This was like 10:30 to 11:30, and it was orange colored, just a light beam.
No, Beth, nobody has. No one has.
It was really strange. It was like, at first, you know, we thought it was a jet trail, but it didn't fall away, you know, like jet trails do. And it just stayed intact for over an hour, and, you know, finally we thought, well, maybe it's something from Rocketdyne, because it was in orange color, a deep orange color, and it didn't fade. It did gradually
slide. Was it at dusk?
Pardon? No, it was like between 10:30 and 11:30.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
It was late. And I had heard about the meteor earlier, and it was totally separate time and all from that, you know, unless perhaps, I don't think they leave a trail, do they?
Well, they will of short duration, but it doesn't last.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, this was so strange. So I told.
What about the Northern Lights? Could it have been the Northern Lights?
Oh, no. Really not. no, it was really, really strange. And it slid from the zenith, you know, overhead, about 30 degrees east, you know, over an hour and a half or so. And then suddenly it just disappeared.
Oh.
I mean, it didn't dissolve and fall away like a normal jet trail, which was, you know, what we originally thought it was.
Well, it sounds like you had a true aerial mystery there.
Really interesting. You know, I just wondered if anybody else reported it.
No, ma'am. You are the very first.
Well, maybe somebody else will call.
Okay.
Let's hope somebody
can
explain it.
I want to thank you for your call, Beth. And how long have you been listening to the show?
Oh, off and on for about 3 months.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Then we've managed to keep you up, huh?
Oh, yes. That's terrific. I love all your everything I've heard. I just love.
Okay. Well, thank you. You're very kind.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we're going to go to Richie in Redondo Beach, joining us on Century. Good evening.
Yeah, hi, guys. Hey, first of all, if your guest, Michael Schirmer.
Yes.
Are you the Michael Schirmer who rode cross-country on a bike?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And heavy emphasis on the doctor.
Actually, I'll tell you.
Doctor, right.
I'll tell you a story about that. I had an alien abduction experience during.
You know what? I remember that.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that on ABC.
It was on Wide World of Sports,
yeah,
right.
Wow.
Yep.
Yep. That's pretty cool.
Of course, when I tell people that I went 83 straight hours without sleep and had ridden 1,200 miles, I say, oh, you didn't really see aliens. They were in your brain.
Said, that's right. Right.
That's but you see, but the point of that story.
Either that or the tequila, right?
Well, no drinking on that race.
Lots of coffee.
The point of that story, though, is for me at the time, it was a very real experience. I really did think these people were aliens that were part of my support crew.
Right.
And that they looked just like the aliens.
Yeah,
and
right. I remember that whole thing.
Yeah. So the people who claim to have been abducted, I suppose some of them are fakes and making up stories to get on TV or something, but I suspect most of them really think they've had an abduction experience. They truly believe it.
Huh. Well, I rode coast to coast on my bike as well, and I thought I saw aliens too, but then they were just residents of Iowa. But, you know. Anyway, hey.
I did a quart of tequila once and thought I saw aliens.
Yeah, that's true.
That'll do it too, you see.
Drinking those six packs on I-80.
Okay.
Anyway, have you guys, probably somebody already mentioned this, but I think it was Hard Copy or one of those shows last night.
Yeah.
Yes, pretty good video footage.
Yes, they did.
Oh, that was really good.
Yes.
I mean, that was really convincing.
It was pretty strange. There's no doubt about it. The one problem I have, and God, we're down to like 4 minutes now.
Yeah.
The one problem I have is it's the same guy time and time again, over and over, that keeps shooting these amazing UFOs.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of unusual.
And I think his first book, those photos were so phony, and I'm sorry. I'm just not going to buy it.
Huh.
But that's just, if you will, for another program.
Yeah.
Richie, okay. Thank you, my friend.
Great show.
Thank you. Right. Bye-bye. We're going to go to Steve in Tehachapi, who's joining us on satellite.
Hi, are you there?
Yes, we're here.
Hi, I just wanted to bring up one thing. I'm in the Air Force, and I have some experience with classified programs. And the point I wanted to make is that just because there's a cover story does not necessarily mean that there's something devious going on. You know, there's all sorts of activities that they just wish to keep quiet and so forth, that they make cover stories to just, you know, keep people away from. Excuse me, I'm a little nervous.
Oh, well, Steve, okay. That's all right. Just take a deep breath. We're all friendly here.
Yeah.
Anyway, the point I was trying to make is that I think we ought to be asking ourselves is that why, if there is this big cover-up, and I can't confirm or deny anything like that, but you have to ask yourself, why would it be that they wanted to cover it up? In my opinion, there's something that would be, if alien phenomenon does exist, there would be something that would be so foreign or so odd or so earth-shaking to both this country and the world. That would be my reason, or my opinion anyway, why they would want to cover this type phenomenon up. But
well, actually, there are a number of reasons. Unfortunately, with less than 2 minutes, we don't have time to even hardly mention a number of them, much less go into detail. But I'll tell you what, I would at some future point invite you to call a little bit earlier, ask that same question. And then we can go over what some of these reasons might be.
So how do you respond to his statement, which I thought was interesting, that it doesn't mean necessarily something devious, just we don't want you to know about this.
Well, are
those two different things?
Being a two-tour veteran of Vietnam, being wounded twice, okay, spending 26 months in Southeast Asia, I know that there are unfriendly people out there. I also know that there are reasons to keep secrets.
Yes.
There are national security considerations. This is an unfriendly world, and we have enemies out there. However, When we talk about unidentified flying objects, the United States government and the United States Air Force, we have a long, long track record of misinformation, disinformation, outright hoaxing, lying, and in some cases, people's lives and careers ruined because they talked about UFOs. And unfortunately,
we're out of time. Thanks very much. Hope you enjoyed this edition of Don Ecker Live.
Well, that was Larry King, and he's telling us we are out of time. Steve?
Yeah.
Call back, my friend.
I will.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Okay, Michael, this has been thoroughly enjoyable. It's been also way too short. I would like to take this opportunity to ask you if you would come back again.
Sure.
It's been a great program. It's nice meeting you.
Really. Why don't you, very quickly give out your skeptics organization. Did I say it right that time? Your skeptics organization phone number.
Let Michael. Yes, it's Skeptic Magazine. You can call us and talk to us. You can do whatever you like. Give us a call, 818-794-31.
It's a fascinating magazine.
Thank you.
It's a very fascinating. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it for another week. My name is Don Ecker. Dwight Schultz, my very good friend and co-host, also wishes to say goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
And Dr. Michael Shermer,
so you
once
guys are
again.
Kind of the skeptics of UFO people, right?
No.
We'll see you in a week. Here's the music.